Welcome to the Living Waters Church Podcast.
Nice to see you. My name is Dave, and I'm the pastoral team here, and part of the teaching team, and we'll be able to share today. Julie and I were away last Sunday, and we were able to be on a vacation to celebrate some milestones in our kids' lives, and so thankful to hear about the ministry of the week and last Sunday. And so thankful. Anybody at the golf, men's golf tournament yesterday? Yeah, there was a few of us. There's Ron over there. He was on my team. Golf, you know, brings out the best of the day and the worst of the day. And I don't know where we landed in that, Ron, but it was a good day for me to hang out with you. We didn't lose. Let's just say that. We didn't lose. We didn't win. We didn't lose. Very good. Well, this morning, we are continuing on week two of a four-week series called The Gift. And just to say it right up front, what we are trying to do in the 4 weeks together is we are discussing the person of the Holy Spirit and his work and role in a person's life. That's just kind of what we're trying to figure out. And I'm enjoying the conversation so far. I was talking with someone this week. It was quite humorous. They were telling him a little bit about this series called The Gift. And it was kind of funny. He said, yeah, speaking of the church at large or the global church, he goes, I've kind of thought over the years that the church at large, when it comes to the Trinity, you know, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, he goes, I think that over the years, the church has been okay with the Father. You know, like God the Father, the Creator, you know, the good guy, the big, strong guy. And saying it in a very humorous way. And he said, I think everybody's okay with Jesus. Nice guy, hey? You know, he came and then he left and good memories. But he goes, it seems to me, and he's just saying in a very humorous, lighthearted way, but he goes, he said, I think what happens when it comes to today is there's a lot of questions that arise about who is the Holy Spirit? And specifically because the Holy Spirit is here and now. And we have to figure out that. And I thought that was kind of a funny, never heard that before. But as I thought about it, it's kind of true in some ways because as we've been considering last Sunday, which was on the Christian calendar, the day of Pentecost, the response in Acts chapter 2 after Pentecost was kind of similar to what my friend was saying. In Acts chapter 2, verse 4, it says, in response to all that they saw, some were amazed and saw all the animated events of the day and said, wow, I wonder if there's more. Others were a little confused and said, I'm not really sure what's going on. Others had questions, and others were critical of the events. And I kind of think that still is the way it is, you know, and as it relates to conversations around the person and work of the Holy Spirit. So we're just trying to have a good conversation about this good subject. But last week, introduced this series by discussing the Holy Spirit as a gift to us. And there is one thing that he said that I think is duly to be noted. Many things, but certainly one thing. That's contradictory, isn't it? There is many things, but certainly one. But he said this. He said, the gift of the Holy Spirit is the Spirit of Christ. The Holy Spirit is the Spirit of Christ. And I thought that was very helpful, especially as we consider today the Holy Spirit as a gift for us. I've noticed that families exchange gifts very differently. Certainly was the case in the Paget home, Julie Paget, my wife, and the Soames home. And certainly back in the earlier years, I noticed contrast. So on the Soames side of the family, when you're involved in a gift exchange, when you purchase the gift in preparation for the gift exchange on December 25th, you did that with secrecy, you did that privately, and you were actually shamed at some point to think that the gift that was being opened on December 25th was actually, had anybody had foreknowledge of it. You had to keep it quiet. And that was the format that I grew up in. I was really surprised to think that there's other ways to do it. Because when you ended up at the Paget home, it looked really differently. My father-in-law, for many years, still today, he always buys me shirts. He buys me casual shirts and formal dress shirts. And the shirts are coming. They're coming. Christmas is coming. The shirts are coming. And you'll probably benefit from the good and bad in that. But what I noticed about the gift exchange in this home, which is very different than this home, is the gifts that my father-in-law would buy, he would buy them early. Whether the gifts were bought in September, October, November, or December, what would often happen once the gift was bought is when I was at his home, he would get me alone. He always called me Davey. He'd say, "Davey, come here." It's like, okay, here I come. And it felt like we were doing something wrong, but doing something right all at the same time. And I still can't figure it out. Because he would take me over to the closet, and he would keep me at fair distance, because you can't touch. But what he would do was open the closet, and he'd open up a bag, and he'd show me all the shirts. And he'd hold them up, and then he would tell me that I liked them. "You like this, don't you, Dave?" It's like, yeah, I really... That's how it plays out. So then, you can't have them because it's September, and they'd go back in the bag and back in the closet, and then sure enough, December 25th, all these shirts would come out, wrapped nicely in a box with the responsibility that I had to look surprised in front of the family. Like, it's the oddest, craziest thing. But that's actually how it played out. No fabrication at all there. I think this series on the gift is kind of a little bit like this home right here, where God the Father has foretold well in advance that he would be of a mind to generously gift the church, and then the church's responsibility to, in a timely and responsible way, to unpack and unwrap the gifts. I think that's kind of what this series simply stated is all about, the gift for us. Now, Luke did a great job. It's very hard sometimes to hit all the services, so we upload on Mondays all of the messages, and I want to encourage you, if you missed last Sunday, Luke's message, to perhaps find some time to hear it. But he laid some good statements that laid foundations, and I want to continue to do that before we look at Acts chapter 2. The story of Christianity and the Christian experience, I think, is always a story of God drawing near. Pentecost Sunday on the Christian calendar, last Sunday, churches all over the world, what they were simply doing is they were acknowledging the drawing near of the Holy Spirit to people's lives and towards people's lives. A loud declaration that says, "I desire to continually draw near to people." And as Luke shared last week, the Holy Spirit is the true Spirit of Jesus. So while one of the three persons or members of the Holy Trinity, the Holy Spirit is the true Spirit of Jesus Christ. And he comes to gift us with things that we only find in him. So we find, you know, creation in God the Father, we find salvation in Jesus Christ the Son, and we find empowerment in the Spirit, Christ's Spirit, enabling and empowering church. So when we question the Holy Spirit, we have to take all those questions to Scripture and to Jesus, because it's his Spirit that was poured out and continues to strengthen and enable and empower the local church. So let's consider Acts chapter 2. Luke was in Acts chapter 1 last week. Let's go to Acts chapter 2 and just kind of point to some things here. Acts chapter 2 verse 1 says, "On the day of Pentecost, they were together in one place." That's interesting to think. It says many things. It's not so much about location. There's more to the togetherness. We see here that they were concerned about the same things. They shared a same value. They were like-minded. They had the same things on their mind. And anybody that is on a journey that is being lived out in a local church, we need to pay attention to this good example here, because while they were together in one place, what was actually happening is they were learning to hear from God together. They were learning to wait upon God together, and they were learning to anticipate the things that God had for them together. which is a responsibility of a local church or a family or a Christian community. And it certainly shows us here that our walk with God is personal, but it involves people. Catch that? Our walk with God is personal, and there's a privacy to it, but it involves other people. If you're newer to Living Waters, you'll notice quickly that we do spend some time singing around here. And there's a number of reasons for it. One of the reasons is so that we can come into a room and we can begin to think about the same things. And we can begin to sense God together. We can begin to, again, be a hearing people. It's something that brings us together and hopefully doesn't divide us. So here's this group of people that they were together in one place. Secondly, it says then the word suddenly is used. So here things get a little animated. So while they were together in one place, it says suddenly. So while the animated events that followed happened rather quickly, I would disagree in some ways that they happened suddenly. And here's why. Because what these 120 had done and had brought into the room had created an expectation. And this is what I mean by this. What brought their togetherness in this room, number one, was an awareness of prophetic words. Again, it's back to this idea of this family, this father saying, I've got good gifts for you, and at some point I'm going to give them to you, and I want you to unwrap them. So they brought that anticipation into the room, and it created a togetherness. Verses like Joel chapter 2, verse 28 to 30, then after doing all these things, I will pour out my spirit upon all people. Your sons and daughters will prophesy, your old men will dream dreams, and your young men will see visions. In those days I will pour my spirit even on servants, men and women alike, and I will cause wonders in the heavens and the earth. I think that when they were together in the room, I'm sure they were thinking about that verse. John 14, Luke referenced this last week, and I will ask the Father, and he will give you another advocate. He will never leave you. He is the Holy Spirit who leads into all truth. The world cannot receive him because it isn't looking for him and doesn't recognize him, but you know him because he lives with you now and later will be in you. And then, of course, the most recent instruction before Acts chapter 2 was in Acts chapter 1, where Jesus said to these people, but you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes upon you, and you will be my witnesses, telling people about me everywhere in Jerusalem, throughout Judea and Samaria and the ends of the earth. Friends, what they brought into the room that created togetherness was awareness of the past, the present, and the future. And I want to really encourage you, when you study your Bible, to do so with those three lenses, the past, the present, and the future, because God and his word is best understood when we think about those three lenses, past, present, and future. So here, what they brought into the room was an understanding of the past promise, and what they were anticipating in the moment was for God to do great things. What else brought togetherness? Well, as I just said, they were together following the instructions of the Lord himself. Jesus said, go and tarry in Jerusalem, and I will meet you there. And they were united. The Old Testament says the Lord commands his blessing upon those united around good and godly things. I deeply value the unity that relationally we experience at Living Waters Church. You can be united around the wrong things, and you can be united around the right things. And I think Living Water, I mean, not perfect, certainly not perfect people, like, yeah, right? Not perfect people. But I would say, especially if you're newer, there's an intention to be united, and we guard that. We guard it relationally, we guard it doctrinally, we seek to guard it in how we solve problems. So what was happening in here, in Acts chapter 2, was the blessing that flows out of families and churches that are united, right? Because he says, I'll command my blessing, I'll meet you there. You unite around good and godly things, and I'll meet you there. So that's why as a community, we need to continually be examining what are we uniting us around, what are we uniting around, what are the good and godly purposes that are creating motivation for us. In this case, God was seeking to honor their togetherness. And then lastly, we see that in the upper room, nothing sacred or special about the upper room per se, but what made it sacred and special was the fact that it created a meeting place with God. And friends, we personally need these meeting places with the Lord. And again, there's no A plus B to get to C for that, but we've got to create those spaces and places where we move from our understanding of an ever-present relationship with God to experience God. And that happens through meeting places, right? And the upper room just so happens became that meeting place for 120 people. They gathered at an altar, and they began to gather, showing an intention and a desire to receive all that God had for them. So let's consider what happened in that upper room. So what was brought into the upper room, what happened in the upper room? Three things. What is it that they heard? Acts chapter 2 says that they heard the sound of a mighty rushing wind. You've heard those sounds. I have heard those sounds of a mighty rushing wind. It says that the patterns of weather are changing and perhaps change your activity because there's a storm, there's something happening. But regardless of the long conversation we could have about that, I think it's a secondary issue. I think what was happening in the natural was very symbolic of what was happening supernaturally. So let's make that transition for a moment. The movement of wind, perhaps, was symbolic of the movement of God within these people's lives. These disciples were being filled. They were maturing because of this God encounter. They were being perfected. They were being prepared for their future. They were growing in their Christian experience. These gifts that were being given were addressing the needs based upon what they lacked within themselves because of their humanity. And that is something to note, that God draws near to us in the midst of our humanity. And I'm thankful that he does, right? Because what was happening in the upper room was God was saying, you're a bunch of humans. You're a bunch of people that have limitations. And I want to gift you so that you can go further and farther in your walk with God. What did they see? They saw what looked like flames of tongues of fire appearing and settling on each of them in the upper room. I've never seen that. I know that over the years, people have tried to paint that. I don't think they've done a very good job, because how do you do that? But again, I think regardless of what that is, what was happening in the natural is very symbolic of what was happening supernaturally. So what was happening supernaturally was that Jesus' spirit, just as like a holy fire, Jesus is not the fire. Jesus is a person moving by his spirit. So we don't elevate the fire. We don't elevate the wind. But they're symbols. What Jesus does is enlighten and purify people so that his followers can share more and more of his likeness. And that can happen in an uninterrupted way. So there is the gift of the Spirit was being given so that this process of transformation in a person's life could go on in an uninterrupted way. I know that my walk with the Lord has been very interrupted over the years because of bad decisions I've made. But the Holy Spirit comes upon us so that that interruption only happens because of our choice, not because of his choice, right? So now he moves by his Spirit in a way that potentially becomes uninterrupted because he is here with us in the here and now. So the Holy Spirit's gift to us is a cleansing work, creating change and transformation. And he does the work in us and for us. And he does things that we can't do for ourselves. You ever notice that it's very, if it was left to the me and the you, how interrupted a journey it would be for us. But we find in the Holy Spirit something that we can't find anywhere else. And finally, what do they say? Well, it actually says in this upper room that they actually spoke in tongues. How interesting to think that there was wind, that there was fire, and there was an ability that came upon them to speak in tongues. So the Holy Spirit here was animating their prayer language. And he's been doing it ever since. Acts chapter 2. And it says on the other side of it, the benefit of the event, if you would, was that the disciples, when they left the room, they had a fresh boldness to be a witness of all the good things that Jesus was doing. So what Jesus was doing through his Spirit is he was addressing individuals' natural timidity that we all experience as we walk at our calling to pray and to serve our friends and family. You ever notice how timid we are as people when it comes to pray for someone or to pray for others? In all kinds of meetings where there's a, and I'm timid. Naturally, I'm a very timid person. And I'm thankful for the enablement and the empowerment to do things that I could never find a way to do on my own. So the Holy Spirit was coming upon these people with in a way that animated their prayers and their possibility of their service to their friends and family. You ever notice sometimes we find ourselves in situations when we just simply do not know what to pray because it's just bigger than us? The Holy Spirit was helping here with that. He was creating a witness in our lives that would now be animated by prayer and witnessing our lives now animated by an ability to speak and to testify what Jesus can do for others. And I want to just pause and say this. There are those that, when discussing the gifts of the Spirit, are of a mind that the gifts of the Spirit ceased to be important or useful beyond the book of Acts. And many would build a case for that. And I, from my personal experience and from my study of Scripture, I'm not there. I think the gifts were necessary to launch the early church, but I think the gifts are necessary to sustain the local church until Jesus Christ returns. The gifts are for today. I've never seen wind and I've never seen fire. Julie and I have traveled quite extensively all around. We've been in all kinds of Christian meetings, all different languages, all different cultures, all different scenarios. And I must say, as exciting as those services are, I've never seen wind in a meeting and I've never seen fire. Maybe you have. I haven't. But what I have seen and heard is tongues. I have, of which I have spoken tongues since I was 12 years old. And I must say that when in a room with people, whether it's private or whether it's in a larger context for greater reasons, I think the use of tongues in a meeting, when done in a proper way with the right attitude and with the right purpose, is quite a complementary thing to the things that Jesus does. To hear my Christian brothers and sisters praying with the gift of tongues is very beautiful. And it represents an intimacy and a strength and a power that I, when in a room like that, benefit tremendously from. That's why Paul says, I wish all of you were to speak in tongues. But let me just say this. You don't have to speak in tongues to be a Christian. I've heard that teaching going, where did that come from? And I've also heard that you have to speak in tongues to be able to pray for somebody else. Wrong. And, you know, you have to speak in tongues to be able to be a good Christian witness. Wrong. None of that is true. None of that is true. But the question that we should ask is, why wouldn't we want these gifts, right? That would be a question I'd leave with all of us today. Why wouldn't we want these gifts? To find greater strength, a greater anointing, and an empowerment is so important today. So, as we close. So, an animated event, Acts chapter 2, wind, fire, tongues. Often the sign of a great event is what happens after. How do we actually walk it out beyond the event? And because studying the Holy Spirit, you do it in the context of, like certainly in Acts chapter 2, was an event. It happened. And then how do we walk it out in a responsible way? And in the New Testament helps us with that. The Apostle Paul specifically. In 1 Corinthians chapter 12 says, God works in different ways, but it's the same God who does the work in all of us. Verse 7, chapter 12, a spiritual gift is given to each of us so that we can help each other. Verse 11, it's the one and only Spirit who distributes all these gifts. He alone decides which gift each person should have. So here we see that when we study the work and role of the Holy Spirit, we do in the context of events, and then how do we walk it out? And we discover how to walk it out, we do so in the context of friendship. and community. Because we can't study it alone for our own purposes. We study it as we lean towards each other and as people lean towards you because we've been equally gifted. Beautiful thought. The plethora of gifts that lie within this room doesn't elevate one over the other. It creates a humility and an interest to work together for the common good. So you are a very gifted people. And we say, thank you, Jesus, for doing that. Paul continues in 1 Corinthians chapter 12, Romans 8, and Ephesians 4, and he lays out some categories just to help us kind of walk it out. There's the revelation gifts that Paul refers to, the spirit animating the rational part of a person. This is more than, this is the power of perceiving and grasping divine and eternal things, not stuff you can make up on your own. They come as gifts. They include the serving of words of wisdom and words of special knowledge and discerning of spirits. And I've been served by that gift multiple times in my life where people have phoned me or they've emailed me or they've prayed for me around an altar and there's a word of knowledge, word of wisdom. Wow. Thank you, Jesus, for having my back through the service of somebody else. There is the vocal gifts. That's all over the New Testament. Spirit anointing our voice and our speech, tongues, interpretation, tongues, and prophecy. There's power gifts. This is the Spirit animating our ministry to others, in the midst of others, operative power, ability to do marvelous works, the power of performing miracles, including faith, healings, and the working of miracles. Some of you have benefited from that over the years, where someone's prayed for you and you've been physically healed. I have, and I've actually prayed for someone. And like, what? You're healed? How cool. Thank you, Jesus. Right? It doesn't elevate me. It actually creates a humility. It had nothing to do with me. I'm human. Jesus is alive, working by his Spirit. And so those within this church who have these gifts, people, find your place. Find your platform. Because people can get helped. People can get healed, right? And then finally, there's the service gifts. This is a Spirit animating our care for people. Serving, teaching, exhorting, generosity, leadership, mercy, help, and administration. I would pray for a special anointing upon all our school teachers this year. You know, May and June, can you imagine? So many school teachers here. How many school teachers? There's all kinds. You're headed towards a tough time, June, right? You got to get through. And the Holy Spirit would speak to that. It would say, I would come upon you with the gift of teaching so you can find your way. All the leaders, all the business people that are in this room, all the service industry that's represented here, power to do great things, right? Does it say we're not doing a good job now? No. But he's saying, I would have it that you would do that with a strength that's even greater than your own so you can go further and farther in your ministry. I'm going to invite the worship team to join me. Again, as we conclude, I want to encourage you to study your Bible in the context of past, present, and future. Because again, the story of Christianity is always a story about God drawing near. Think about the Old Testament. God drew near to the nation of Israel, and great things happened. In the New Testament, Mark, Luke, John, Matthew, this is the story of God sending his son and Jesus coming and moving into our neighborhood and drawing near. And God, through his son, did great things, right? And the book of Acts is the story of now the Holy Spirit drawing near. And when you study the book of Revelation, you know what you'll find? You'll find the greatest drawing near is when Jesus Christ's second coming happens, where Jesus returns to the earth, right? So I want to encourage you to study your Bible. Because I think you'll make the greatest sense of it when you think about Jesus, past, present, and future, always drawing near. Drawing near. Drawing near. And so we live today aware of the prophetic story that's unfolding in this world, where Jesus said, I will pour out my Spirit because people, you need help. Whenever I see that, I will pour my spirit. I always put, because Dave, you need help. I always do, because it's true. I need help. And the helpers come. Have you ever had what I call, I just didn't know moment? It happens to me all the time. It usually happens around electronics. You know, you're trying to figure your phone out, and someone who's smart says, well, if you just do that, yeah, I just didn't know. Like, or you're trying to figure out, you know, your Mac, and you're going, da-da-da-da-da-da, and someone shows you a much simpler way to do what you've been doing the hard way for years, and you go, oh, yeah, I just didn't know. I've, these last number of months, met so many beautiful people in this church, and I always walk away and going, I just didn't know how fantastic a person, like what a fantastic, responsible life these people are living. I just didn't know. We're hoping through this series to remove some of that for all of us. Remember when the disciples in Luke chapter 10 were released by Christ to go? He anointed them and he said, go and do great things. Remember that story? Anyways, they came back and they came back reporting that God had used them to see people healed, people helped. And it was like the disciples in front of Jesus said, well, we just didn't know that all that could happen through our lives. We just didn't know. And we want to eliminate that for you as best as we can so that we all would know that the Holy Spirit, who is the Spirit of Christ, seeks to draw near still today. And when he does and he comes, it makes a lot of good sense. Because he helps us do greater things in prayer and in service to our friends and family. I want to invite you to stand. We have a few minutes left. Reuben's going to come and close our service in just a moment. But we've sang this morning songs that say, hey, God, you're great. Father God, you're awesome. We've sang a song that said, Jesus, you're so good to us. As we finish this service, we're going to sing to the Holy Spirit. We're going to sing, Holy Spirit, you are welcome here. Because I think by doing so, we're actually standing in a place that represents the full counsel of God. God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit, who is in the here and now, seeking to animate our lives in ways that make us more fruitful and more effective. So I want to encourage you today. I want to encourage every person in this room to use this time as a time of prayer and allow God to draw near to you, because I think good things will come. Thanks for leading us.
Join me in coming to the altar and meeting with God right now in this moment. If you're here and you're feeling like you want to receive his Spirit, to be empowered to use the gifts he's given you, I just ask you to join me in prayer and just even put your hands out as a symbol of just receiving from him and showing God that this is something that you're desiring. And this is something that we can do together now. But if you're not ready, it's something you can do anytime, even in your home, in your bedroom, wherever it is. He's always there. His arms are open wide. And so if you'd like to join me in prayer as we ask him to fill us and empower us today. Jesus, we come to you. We come and we meet with you this morning, and we ask you to fill us with your Spirit, to empower us and to reveal to us the gifts that you have given us so that we can go out and make a difference and bring hope and love to this world, your hope and your love. You tell us in your word, God, that you sent this gift, that you are sending your Holy Spirit to us so that we can do things even greater than what you did here on earth yourself. Wow, that is powerful, God. And so we come to you as your people this afternoon, and we ask for you to fill us. We ask for you to empower us so we can go as people, as your church, and go out and be empowered to use these gifts in supernatural ways, both to serve each other, but also to serve those out here, out there that do not know you, and who need to know the hope that you have for them and the healing, God. There's so much brokenness. There's so much need for your love. And we know that we can be used as a body, as a family, as a church, to work together and to use the gifts you've given us to make that impact. Lord, we saw it happen in Acts 2. Your church grew incredibly, and people were changed. Lives were changed. The world was changed, and you can still do that now today. And so we ask you to do that, Holy Spirit. Come, empower us. Use the gifts you've given us. Thank you, Jesus, that you love us and you want to do this in our lives. We ask this in your mighty and powerful and loving name, Jesus. Amen. Amen. Well, thank you for joining us. Go out today into your weeks and just ask God every day to fill you, empower you, and his Spirit will go with you. So have a great week. And we'll see you here back next Sunday.